And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fult. Mickey, how's your Christmas?
It was very good. Quiet on the quiet side, but I enjoy that.
Well, as the curtain comes down on 2011, Mickey, we wanted to review the commodities trade over the past year. And for this installment of the program, we're going to focus on energy. At the time of this recording, Mickey, we have the price of crude oil sitting at just over $100 a barrel. Of course, geopolitical concerns always play an important role in crude oil. We have Iran talking about the possibility of blocking ships through the Strait of Hormuz. We've heard that tough talk from Iran before. But looking at the supply-demand side of this story, Mickey, how tight is the market right now for crude oil, and how would you summarize the performance over the past year?
The market has been in relatively good balance for the year. Yearly high was $113, yearly low was $75. As always, as you alluded to, geopolitics really drives this market. We started in the $90 range in the first part of the year, and then we had this volatile Arab Spring geopolitical situation, which really affected prices, and we saw oil exporting governments fall during the year. We saw historic high spreads from Brent versus WTI, and of course in North America we talk about WTI. A lot of that was driven by weakness in the euro and the debt crisis, and in the States we have this overcapacity that has happened in the Gulf Coast and a U.S. oil boom. You know, U.S. imports are down to 49% of demand. That's 20% off from 2006 when we imported about 60% of our oil. So we had a commodities correction in early May. That was really triggered by the parabolic rise and fall of silver, and also concerns again about the European debt crisis. Low was in early October, when once again we had a commodities meltdown driven by the European debt debacle. So geopolitics ruled again. We've been on uptick since early October, mid-October. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like supply-demand is very much in balance at this point.
Okay, in balance. At the same time, Mickey, the latest report on U.S. crude oil inventories detailed the biggest weekly drop in more than a decade. How important are those weekly numbers in your mind? They are quite volatile. Do you pay much attention to them?
Well, I think they can very much affect short-term prices, but you know, I'm probably more concerned with natural gas inventories than I would be in oil inventories, because it's much easier to store oil. You just park a tanker offshore, and you've got your oil stored. So,
okay, you mentioned
don't pay much attention to that except on a very short term trading basis.
Okay, you mentioned natural gas. We did an in-depth program on natural gas earlier in the year, and you were bang on when you stated that the commodity in your mind was going nowhere. You suggested basically that investors steer clear of it. We have the price of natural gas right now down about 30%, I believe, on the year. There's a glut of gas out there right now, isn't there? And is that due in large part to developments in shale gas? Because that's really kind of set the industry on its head, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has, especially in North America. And we find that natural gas has been a much different story. We've talked before about how the oil-to-gas ratio is at historic highs. The gas price started quite strong in the early part of the year, hanging in at $4.50. And we had the usual season supply-demand fluctuation. So by late winter, it was dropping, and then we had a little rally during the summer months when everybody's running their air conditioners. High was reached in early June at almost $5. But from about September 1 to the end of the year, we've gone on this really strong downside. Right now, less than $3 Henry Hub spot price per 1,000 BTU. And part of that right now is driven by, it's been a relatively mild winter. You were commenting.
Yeah.
Your weather's been looking like Vancouver versus the usual snow of the Northeast.
Yeah.
Except in where I live in the Southern Rockies and the Southern Great Plains, where we've had a fairly strong winter, but nobody lives out here, so that doesn't really affect gas prices very much. So once again, with the oil shale developments in over in North America, we see an oversupply and an undercapacity for processing, transportation, and storage. So lack of infrastructure continues to depress the market in North America. But then again, in Europe, gas sells for double or triple what it does here. I'm looking now somewhere in Europe and Russia, Western Asia, we're seeing gas prices from $9 to $12 per 1,000 BTUs. Mm. So don't you wish we could find a way to arbitrage that, huh, Rob?
Yeah, no kidding. That would be a great one. Let's turn our attention to coal, because I've read, Mickey, that China relies on coal to generate about 80% of its electricity. Is the coal story on a global basis one that is dominated by China? And what is your assessment of the coal market over the past 12 months?
Certainly China controls the world's coal market, especially in thermal coal and especially in Asia. We need, when we look at coal, need to look at two different kinds of coal. There's thermal coal and metallurgical coal.
Mm-hmm.
Thermal coal being used in power generation and space heating, and metallurgical coal being dominated by the steelmaking industry. So coal prices for thermal coal in North America have been relatively flat, although strong all year long. But the real story in 2011 was metallurgical coal.
Mm.
And what we saw was in Q1, early Q1, the Australians got flooded out in southern and central Queensland, which supplies a significant amount of metallurgical coal to China and Southeast Asia. Those mines were offline for somewhere from 30 to 60 days. So what we really saw was spikes in metallurgical coal, and we saw that very strong metallurgical coal prices in the U.S. As an input to steelmaking at all-time high export prices. And not all of our listeners would be aware, but Appalachian coal supplies a significant amount of coal to the world's markets through exports, and those numbers were at all-time highs this year.
Yeah, let's turn your attention now to uranium. You know, I think at the beginning of the year, it was really a follow-up from the previous year, Mickey, when everybody was still on the using nuclear power bandwagon. A lot of people were talking about, you know, this is the clean, green way to go to generate power. And then, wham, the Japanese tsunami struck. And the whole market, just the bottom just fell out of that market, didn't it? That was the real big story in uranium, and I don't think we've really fully recovered, have we?
Well, yeah, that was the black swan event, and this is an episode that has forever changed the worldwide uranium industry.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't look on it as being the debacle, perhaps, that you've indicated. You know, I still remain bullish on uranium. The spot price really drives the market, especially for uranium explorers, developers, and miners. But that's really less than one quarter of the world use. What we saw in uranium prices was a very strong uranium market in January and February. Basically, the roll started in October. It went on a roll of October of 2010. By February, it hit $73 a pound. So we saw these rapid spot market prices, and we saw the market being very tight, because at that time a very unusual thing happened, which was the spot price at its high became equal to the long-term contract price.
Mm-hmm.
That really indicates tight supplies. And I would use an analogy and say it would be somewhat similar in a futures market to backwardation. So,
right.
And that happens when supplies are very tight. Then we had the black swan event at Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
The spot price fell briefly to $49, bounced to 60, and then along came the summer doldrums, and it actually went back down to just a little bit less than $50, but immediately bounced back only a week below 50, and what we've seen the last 6 months is a very stable spot price at $50 to $52. Long-term contract prices also fell throughout the year, now trading in the $60 to $65 range. What we've seen is Japan and Western Europe saying no to nuclear, while Eastern Europe, Eastern Asia, Middle East, Russia, U.S., etc., the build-out continues, although that has slowed down. So all in all, I still remain a uranium bull because we only mine 70% of what we use every year.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, let's run through the commodities that we've focused on and hear your assessment as we look forward to the new year. We've got crude oil. What do you think?
I think demand will remain strong and the high price will continue. In natural gas, I see no hope in the near term for natural gas. We've got too much in North America and not the ability to process it. In coal, I think we're going to see growth muted somewhat, driven by somewhat of a slowdown in China, but metallurgical coal remain in short supply, and I would be bullish on metallurgical coal. Uranium, I think we can expect the Fukushima hangover to linger, but the point remains, we still use much more than are supplied by mines on a yearly basis. I think the base price of 50 for the spot and upwards will continue in 2012.
Okay, good stuff. Next time out, Mickey, we are going to turn our attention to the metals.
That we are, and we're going to do a similar thing in metals, and we will follow up with that next week, Rob.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks very much, Mickey.
Thank you, Rob.
That is Mickey Folt, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.